When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Bucks are what's hot. There's no need to deny. So what we gonna do? Let it fly.
We're still celebrating right here on the Pack-A-Day Radio Show. Bucks are NBA Cup champions. We are live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, and powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook. Reminder, the Mason Crosby Show with Mitch and Ellis is coming up next, 9 to 11. 2 hours of unbelievable sports talk. Looking forward to that today from those two fine gentlemen. Right now, we are going to be going to the Nicolay Law Fan Talking Text Line and talk to Joey Van Zumeren, Packers on SI. He also covers Missouri sports for Mizzou SI. You can find him on Twitter at JoeyVZ_. Joey, it is unbelievable to be talking to you, my friend. How are you doing?
Absolutely. I'm having a great time watching the Packers this season. So I'm doing good, and I really appreciate you having me on, Andy.
Yeah, you bet. I'm excited about this. Before we get there, I know you're obviously a Mizzou guy, cover the basketball team over there. I know you're a Packer guy. Do you have any NBA team, any NBA cares at all, or are you just not an NBA guy?
Well, so I'm a very casual Bucks fan. I like to tell people, though, I'm more so of a Giannis fan. I read Maren Fader's biography on him a few years ago, so I'm a big fan of Giannis. I don't really pay that much attention to the Bucks. I know they won the NBA Cup supposedly last night. I don't know how much that means, but I'm aware of that.
It means the world, Joey. There is nothing bigger. I have now 4 championships in my lifetime, 2 Packers Super Bowls, 1 Bucks NBA championship, and 1 Emirates Cup for the Milwaukee Bucks. It means everything. Let's talk some Green Bay Packers, though. I know that's what we're here to do. I want to just give you the floor to begin with. Packers get a big win against the Seahawks this past week on Sunday Night Football. What were just your kind of key takeaways from that game in particular?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think anything changed my perception of the Packers in that game from what I've thought about them the last month. They looked like a team in that first quarter that can go into any place and dominate teams, especially the ones that aren't at the top of the conference. And I know we'll talk about that later, but looked like a dominant team. And also, though, once it got into the middle of the game, kind of the same problems they've been having each of the past 3 weeks, I would say, where the offense just kind of, for whatever reason, stops working. Not that it completely shuts down, but just has some inconsistencies. But the offense in the first quarter, you know, Josh Jacobs has been just a workhorse early in the games, and that really helps Green Bay set the tone. And then with both this game and the Miami one, they're just letting these teams stay in the game. And really, I think if you go back and look at the games and know the result, it doesn't feel as bad as it does in game when Green Bay fumbles it and all of a sudden Seattle has the chance to make it a 2-possession game midway through the fourth quarter. Probably doesn't look and feel as bad when you know the result, but in the moment feels like they can very easily let it slip away. The last get shirt up, I think the defense has put together some really good performances, and I think we can say pretty confidently what this defense is at this point. They're doing a really great job at creating takeaways. I looked it up before the show, and they are They're fourth in the league in takeaways right now. The last time they were in the top five was 2005 when they led with 45. So defense doing pretty solid there. I do have some concerns at certain areas for sure, especially at cornerback. That's a position that I could definitely see being exposed in the playoffs. There, it feels like there's an area of the defense specifically for the Packers every year that is a glaring weakness all season that they're kind of able to band-aid up during the regular season and then gets absolutely exposed during the playoffs. So a little bit concerned about that position for sure. But otherwise, I feel pretty good about this Packers team and where they're at specifically for, you know, no matter what happens in the playoffs, I feel pretty good for where they're at in year two of a new era.
Yeah, I cannot agree more, especially with that last portion of this rebuild has been accelerated. They've certainly, again, with Jordan Love and this kind of new era, have put the foot on the gas right away, obviously winning a playoff game against Dallas last year, giving San Francisco everything they could handle in the divisional round, now going 10-4 on this season so far. I want to go back to that cornerback position for just a moment. If Green Bay gets healthy at that particular spot, and if you have Jair Alexander on one side and Javon Bullard goes back in the slot, and maybe it's whether it's Keyshawn Nixon or Carrington Valentine, whoever it might be on the other side, with Evan Williams and Xavier McKinney at safety, do you feel better about that position, or is there still that one weakness, or maybe even two, depending on if they get Javon Bullard and some mismatches in that situation? Is there still enough weakness there that you're concerned about it, or if they get healthy, does that concern become much more mitigated?
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult to say because I really like what Javon Bullard and Evan Williams have both shown this season, but with rookies, you never know in the playoffs. And also with Jair, I like the point that Perry Goldstein brought up on your show a few weeks ago or maybe it was Grant Bliss, somebody who mentioned that with Jair, just the question of if he does return, can he stay healthy?
Sure.
Which is definitely a concern. I thought Keyshawn Nixon has looked better. And then Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes, even though they wouldn't be getting as much playing time if Jair gets healthy, obviously, Still a question mark there. I would definitely feel more confident, and it definitely feels like this past week Evan Williams was put in some unfavorable situations without Javon Bullard in the lineup. So I think Javon Bullard and Jair Alexander returning not only helps out the fact that they're back, but also just the fact that it puts everybody else in some more favorable positions.
Yeah, I agree with you on Evan Williams. There are a couple spots, and there's just some miscommunications on defense and a couple things. I'll just add, I love the way that dude plays football. He plays it all the right ways. He is attacking downhill, and I think he's going to be, the more and more that I watch Evan Williams, the more and more I'm convinced that he's going to be, and maybe already is, just a really, really good player in this league. I know we obviously all went, our eyes all went to Adrian Cooper in this one and his rookie performance, but Evan Williams is going to be a stud on that back end. I'm really excited about that. But to your point, rookies in the playoffs, and they're going to have a lot of rookies kind of step up. I expect that Javon Bullard, Evan Williams, and Adrian Cooper are going to have major roles on this defense come playoff time, and how those guys perform in that wild card round, hopefully division championship round, etc., could go a long way in defining this defense. And to your point on Jair Alexander, yeah, I mean, it's been since 2020 where he's played 1,000 snaps, or it was even before, I don't know, I have to look at it. I think it was 2019 or 2020 where he played 1,000 snaps in a season. It's been a hot second, and it's just been kind of injury after injury after injury for Jair. And to your point, if he can't come back 100%, or if he comes back and he immediately goes out, it doesn't really matter that you get him back at the beginning of it. It all of a sudden ends up in the same situation that you're at right now. So I guess it's good that they're getting some experience without him in case that happens, but man, would it be nice to have him out there. All right, I want to talk about Jordan Love and his recent performance. The offense, kind of as you were mentioning in your kind of season recap there, has been, it looks at times like a juggernaut. At other times, it looks like they can't get out of their own way. Jordan Love has been much more efficient as of late. Is this a Jordan Love that can lead them through a stretch of really tough playoff games, or do we still need to see proof come playoff time?
Oh, absolutely. I think the Toyota fun phenomenon is absolutely real.
Love it.
And I think he can get hot at the right times. He's made enough plays enough big plays week in and week out to believe that he can make those in the playoffs. And he even showed that in both Dallas and San Fran last year in the playoffs. So he just has to watch out to avoid trying to be Superman when the game is on the line, and hopefully he's learned that lesson. And I think we've seen that at times this year. I think he's been much more composed and making better decisions on game-winning drives this year compared to last. There is still certain times throughout the game, and this was mostly when he was injured and throwing an interception every game, where he tries to make those dumb decisions. I think the fact that his fully recovering from injury, coinciding with a lack of interceptions, is no mystery, really, no coincidence. I think when he was injured, like I said, just trying to make too many things happen that he couldn't, especially in that Lions game. I think that screen pass where near the end of the first half there, where he makes that terrible decision, he couldn't see the defender. I think if he had more mobility to be able to back up more, be able to move back quicker, would have seen that defender. So just certain things like that, I think his injuries really hindered him there, especially with his mobility. So I absolutely think he can get hot at the right time. It really feels like in these past few weeks, his timing with Christian Watson and Romeo Doubs in particular has really been nailed down, which makes sense. I mean, he's been with them the longest and been taking reps with them the longest. So really excited with Jordan Love can do in this playoff run.
Yeah, I'm excited to see it as well. We are being joined by Joey Van Zumeren, Packers on SI. He also covers Missouri sports for Mizzou SI. You can find him on Twitter at @JoeyVZ_. All right, Joey, I know you do cover Missouri sports as well. The Packers have a prominent rookie that is out of the university, or I guess I can't say university, but out of Mizzou, I'll put it that way. Tyron Hopper, he has not had a ton of play so far in the NFL, third round pick. I know you liked him coming out of the draft. Your thoughts on him coming out of college and what he could potentially be for Green Bay down the road once he gets that opportunity?
Yeah, with Tyron, I'm not trying to save face here, but I will say I was surprised to see him selected in the third round. And I was surprised to see the Packers take him. In hindsight, I think he does fit kind of some of the Packers molds there. But again, really surprised to see him drafted in the third round. I think I've told you before, on night two of the draft, once Ennis Rakestraw, the cornerback, got taken by the Lions out of Missouri, I was like, all right, I can mail it in for the night. I don't expect anybody else from the school to go in tonight. And then an hour later, I was on your show talking about Tyron Hopper. So I'm also not surprised to see him get this lack of playing time, even with all the injuries they've had at inside linebacker. I think he really is a project. And for as good, I think he could be inserted into the lineup and right away be a solid contributor as a run defender. I definitely could see where they have some hesitation about him on any passing down, though. And I know that's probably concerning to hear for a third-round rookie. But I think he can develop into a better project or a better player there in pass coverage, because he has the athleticism there. That's not really the problem. He just gets lost in the sauce too many times on pass coverage from college. There was just a lot of times where he would, off of the line, he would get confused. It was just all at the release, no matter tight end, running back, and then all of a sudden is automatically five steps behind them. So also some problems with reading routes. So I think he's got a long way to go. I think he has some exciting potential as a run defender for sure. Some exciting athleticism. He's obviously contributing on special teams. So again, I'm not really, for as much as people should be disappointed to not see a third round draft pick on the field for how many injuries they've had there, I understand the thought process there, but I'm excited to see what role he could carve out for himself.
Yeah, me too. I think there's, to me, he's a nice depth piece right now. And I think what they're going to try to hope to accomplish is get him to be that 4-3, that third linebacker in the 4-3 by next year. You have Edgerrin Cooper, you have Quay Walker going into next year. Eric Wilson will be a free agent. Isaiah McDuffie will be a free agent. We'll see what they do at that position, see if they add any other. Well, I know they will add some new pieces, but who they end up being, if it's just kind of depth pieces or if they're players that can actually compete. But I think they're going to really want him to win that third linebacker spot in the 4-3 next year and then be somebody that if there is an injury to Quay Walker or Edgerrin Cooper, that he can go in and take those snaps as well. And hopefully by next year, he's kind of ready to do so. In the meantime, he's doing well on special teams. And again, he's a nice depth piece at linebacker. It does feel like end of third round, especially when maybe Green Bay has a couple extra picks to play with, that sometimes, especially this is a little bit more in the Ted Thompson era, but sometimes they get just a little bit cute, or even just in general. Like I remember the Montrevious Adams selection at the end of the third round. There was, Sean Ryan was kind of not a huge reach at that point in time, but Josiah DeGuara at the end of the third round. Like there's just been some interesting moments where they kind of just go a little bit off script. The big two I remember is when they had two in 2014 and they go Kyrie Thornton and Richard Rodgers back to back, which both guys were considered like fifth, sixth round picks. And it feels like sometimes they get just a little bit of like, ooh, we really like this guy and we're going to, you know, maybe show the league that we liked him a little bit more and we're going to go get him. And I don't know if that's going to be the case for Tyron Hopper. It definitely kind of felt it, like you said at the time, I don't think anyone really had Tyron Hopper third round pick kind of in their vocabulary at that point in the draft, but it happened and hopefully it pays off for him, maybe better than some of those other guys did. I'm still excited to see what he can do. I thought he had a nice preseason, and again, hopefully he can come up and have a nice second year if given the opportunity next year. I know there's a big time Missouri player coming out this year, Luther Burden, wide receiver, expected to be a first round draft pick, probably not going to get taken by Green Bay, but what should we know about Luther Burden and any other Mizzou players that might be coming out in this year's draft?
Yeah, with Luther, I was trying to think of a good comparison for Packers fans and just NFL fans in general to summarize how much he's meant to this Mizzou football program. And one that I thought would be very pertinent to Packers fans was Reggie White. And the more I was thinking about this, it made more and more sense to me. Reggie was one of the first players one of the first big stars of the free agency era in the NFL. Luther Burden, one of the first big ones in the NIL era of college football. And so Luther, he's from the St. Louis area, but Mizzou for the longest time has struggled to really recruit well out of that area, and it's really been unfortunate for them to have such a talent well just 2 hours east of the school and not be able to recruit the top talent there. So Luther, when he committed to Mizzou, had offers from every blue blood, had his choice, but decided to stay home and really turn around how Mizzou recruits in that area. And then obviously on the field is just an incredible weapon for them. I saw Tyler Brook, friend of the show, described it really well with Luther when evaluating him. A lot of people can go from 0 to 100 really fast, but not a lot of them can go from 100 to 0 really quick. And I think that's the best way to describe Luther. He's not, I would expect him to test in the 40 round, late 4.3. So it's not like he's a real burner like Tyreek Hill, but just how he moves across the field with the ball in his hands, just a yak weapon, can really, like I said, break really quickly and maneuver around a lot of guys. There were so many plays where watching in the press box, I would think the play is over. I would think he's going to get tackled for like a 2 yard loss. So I go back to typing and then I look up and he suddenly turned 20 yards down the field. So whoever gets him is getting a weapon there. I would say don't be fooled by his production this season. Mizzou was dealing with quarterback injuries, a lot of offensive inconsistencies. So it was a quote unquote down year for him, but whenever he got the ball, was still just as dynamic as ever. As far as some Mizzou draft prospects that the Packers might actually be interested in, first is Armon Mimbu. Now, tell me if this sounds familiar, Andy, but he's a right tackle who doesn't really have the size to play tackle in the NFL, so would probably switch over to guard. So he's a junior who is probably going to be a day two pick. I think he probably fits some of the testing the Packers like. He reminds me of Lucas Patrick. Toughness-wise, and the fact that he is just going to go out there, especially downfield, and not going to be afraid to hit anybody. So I think a lot of that, their interest along the offensive line, it's going to depend a lot on what they end up doing with Josh Myers in this offseason, and then where they would move at center. So Armon Mimbu, you know, if their solution there is just moving Elton Jenkins for Zach Tom over to center, then Armon Mimbu definitely becomes an option for them. And then there's two guys on day three that I think Green Bay could be interested in as well. Corey Flagg Jr., he's a linebacker who transferred over from Miami this past season. Reminds me a little bit of Jordan Cooper, probably a little bit less fast. But 5'10", 233, really good build, very versatile linebacker. And then defensive end Johnny Walker Jr., 6'3", 250, just has great bursts off of the line. Not really the size I think they'd be looking for in a 4-3, but pretty good defensive end that both these guys, Corey Flagg and Johnny Walker, could be options they look at as undrafted free agents.
Awesome. I love it. I love the breakdowns. And man, you just talking about that, Joey, already gets me pumped up and hyped up for draft season. Like, now I'm ready. Now I want to just start going and watching film of draft player. Like, you have now me on like draft alert. I know we're December 18th. We've got a ways to go, but drafting Green Bay, it's going to be a ton of fun. I'm already excited for it. Joey, before we get you out of here, I have to ask the most important question that I'm going to ask you. What are the odds that we could get a underage Packers podcast reunion at some point and one more, the press conference videos that were always so epic. You don't know what you have until it's gone. Sometimes I miss the underage Packers pod. I especially miss the press conference video. So what are the odds at some point we could get a one episode reunion or a reunion special at some point?
Well, with underage Packers, we were going to do a reunion episode at training camp, and then that fell through the cracks there. So I wouldn't expect that to happen. And then with the press conference videos, look, Andy, I'm in the Packers PR system now. I cannot be risking any of that at this point. So I think I'll stray away from that.
You're probably a very smart man. At some point, though, we've got to figure out a way to make it happen. But Joey, you're the absolute best. What are you working on right now, or where can we find all of your amazing work?
Yeah, so I'm the lead reporter for Missouri Tigers on SI, so that's mainly what I'm doing, and then contributing for Packers on SI with Phil Huber. So Mizzou has a bowl game coming up. I'll be traveling to Nashville to watch them play Iowa. So looking forward to some Packers representation there. I'll just be thinking of Brian Bulaga and all of the great Packers prospects that have come out of Iowa.
There you go. We'll enjoy the heck out of that. We'll definitely be paying close attention. Again, you can find him on Twitter at @JoeyVZ_Joey. We'll definitely be doing this again soon. When we come back, we're going to be going to the phone. So get those phone calls into the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line, 414-677-1250. It's the Packaday Radio Show live from the 1250 AM and 105.7 FM, the Fan Studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.